This is the SB Live Washington Podcast, your weekly conversation about high school sports and the people who play them across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Buehler, your host and reporter with SB Live. No Dan Dick out today. If you miss him, like Todd and I do, you can find him over on the ISO Podcast, where he's bringing you conversations with experts in the world of sports three times a week, wherever you get podcasts. Later on, we're joined by Glacier Peak senior Ryan Black, a running back who's coming off of a dominant season for the Grizzlies, and I don't use that word lightly. Absolutely dominant. Really looking forward to that conversation, what's next for him, so stick around. But with me now is a senior reporter, a man with many hats, the prodigal son of Tacoma, senior reporter Todd Millis. Todd, some weeks you're everyone's pal, some weeks you're nobody's pal. I want to take the temperature. Which is it this week?
Well, I think this week, without Dick out, I'm everybody's pal. You know, I mean, that introduction got about 5 or 10 seconds longer without Dick out. I mean, you know, that's what happens when you're the silver medalist in this group, you know, or even the bronze medalist, you know, on the golf course here. But I think, you know, we're cooking along, man. We're right sort of in between seasons, and yet second season's already close to ending in some leagues, and basketball starting up, and it's there's a lot going on. You were at a basketball game last night, Andy, a pretty good one up down there in Vancouver. I'm going to be at one in Seattle, but yet there's all league. There's league baseball and softball tournaments, track meets, league boys soccer championships. I mean, there's a lot going on. More than we're used to in a normal season.
No question. Back to your point about the intros. I remember when we started this podcast 101 episodes ago. Can you believe that? I remember introducing you and Dickow, and the line for Dickow was, I mean, how long was it? What? I had to take it took 30 to 45 seconds. You know, we're talking Prairie High School. We're talking Gonzaga All-American. We're talking 6 years in the NBA. And then, of course, his exploits after his NBA career, which has brought him to working at SB Live. And it took a couple weeks for me to realize, you know what, we'll just let people figure that out. We'll just say that he's just keep it quick and dirty. But I don't know, Todd, for you, I feel like I kind of like the flow. I kind of like the long intro. You know, you are the prodigal son of Tacoma, and we need to remind people of that.
Well, yeah. Many hats is probably the best way to refer to me. That's where most people know me for my long career at the Tribune and short career here. So, yeah, I've had my toes in the dipping in a lot of different pools over the years. So if you want to call me the prodigal son of Tacoma based on those exploits, then so be it.
Many hats, you're wearing just about all of them right now as we look at the high school sports world, which is, as you mentioned, pretty much a blur. We got winter sports on top of spring sports. We got district titles. We got athletes playing two sports at the same time. But all that might change in this next week in big pockets of the state, in what state officials are calling a fourth wave of this pandemic. You know, here we are, more than 40% of this state has received at least the first shot of the vaccine. I think about 28% as of the 24th of this month is fully vaccinated, and case counts still continue to rise. Big counties like Spokane, King County, Clark County down in Vancouver are not meeting the metrics needed to stay in phase three, which has allowed high school sports to happen and every high school sport to happen. And so you have right now, as you know, you and I are taking the temperature here. A lot of coaches in those big pockets of the state are bracing for a rollback, and for high risk sports like wrestling, like basketball, that were saved for last in this condensed 3-season, 2-season schedule here at the end of this year, might, you know, face some pretty tough news. And it's just another blow in what's been a really long and tumultuous year for coaches, for students, and, you know, athletes trying to get the chance. And, as you look at it, Todd, what are going to be the biggest impacts of those counties moving to phase two?
Oh, you just mentioned it, Andy. I mean, we'll be able to finish up the spring sports this weekend. But after Friday, I'm not sure when we're going to cover another basketball game. You know, it's a 3-week evaluation period. It's going to cut deeply into an already shortened season. Like you said, this is a fourth outbreak. You know, the trends aren't good. I just, you know, again, this roller coaster has not been a fun ride for any of us. And I thought that we were through the worst of it. And I thought we would be able to see some basketball and celebrate some basketball and see some wrestling. And I know the idea has been out there about having outdoor wrestling in football stadiums, which I think is a fantastic idea. I haven't been giddy about an alternative idea in years more than this. I would love to go cover a night wrestling match in a football stadium. I think it's a cool idea. But I just don't see how we're going to be doing much for the next month in those two sports, if at all. And if you and I talk to a lot of basketball coaches, I've had a chance to talk to some wrestling coaches over some news that we'll get to later. It's just a bummer. I can't describe the tone in their voice. It's just, you know, you just sort of throw up your arms and you just go, what more? I mean, what more can they throw at us? Again, we've kind of gone back and forth about the odds of having basketball and wrestling, and it doesn't look good. Well, it looks better. And now we're in phase three. It looks great. And now we're rolling back to phase two. Some counties might go back to phase one. I mean, it's just two steps forward, three steps back. It's a really frustrating ride, like you mentioned. And it's just, I don't see, after this weekend, I just don't see much room for basketball and wrestling here for the rest of the month and into May and maybe the rest of the spring. And that would be a sad day.
It would. And of course, we're sitting here hoping for the best and hoping that, you know, case counts can take a turn for the better, hoping that, you know, the high school sports that are playing can continue to do so safely. And I think what we've seen as cases have risen, and of course, there's variants around this country, and we're still, you know, experts are still learning, you know, new things about the way that the virus mutates. And, you know, it just felt like, here in this state, we saw high school sports, one of the last states to bring high school sports back. It felt like, you know, we saw it done in a way that was safe and that we didn't really see a ton of spread, if at all, on the field of play, on the court of play, whatever it may be. And that's the thing that I keep coming back to and that coaches keep coming back to that I talk to is, you know, look, we believe that we can do this safely. You know, it's just, I think we are in a position right now where we just kind of see that, you know, we're reminded, you know, even though, you know, the world of high school sports is all encompassing, it's to athletes, it can take up a large chunk of their life. For coaches, they pour their heart and soul into this thing. Administrators, making it go, and all the mechanisms that make education-based sports work. You know, there's bigger things at play here, and it's just unfortunate that that these kids, these high school athletes, especially at the end of the line, especially with you know, in a time where, of course, you know, some of these basketball teams, three leagues now have started to play, might get the rug pulled out from under them before they even get going. The same could be said for wrestling, Todd. You just, as we're recording this, you just push the story live to the site, scorebooklive.com/Washington, and to the SB Live Sports app. About a sudden rule for wrestling that, you know, it might not matter, of course, because wrestling and basketball are considered at the highest risk. And so without being in phase three, there is no avenue under the state's COVID response reopening plan for those forced to play. But if they do, what are wrestlers going to have to what layer are they going to have to add to their season prep and the day to day?
Yeah, I mean, and Andy, you talked to Mick Hoffman last week and kind of sort of got the tip on this, is that because of the high contact of the direct contact of wrestlers, you know, not in pads and you know, other layers, that they're going to have to take two COVID tests per week, one the day of a match and a second one that would preclude up to 3 days before a match. It's just another layer for another loop for wrestling to have to jump through to you know to have competition. And you know, privately I've talked to coaches who think that the way this will really impact their program is that you're going to see some guys just opt out. There is no rule for wrestlers to just stay in the wrestling room and get their work in and go through their 2 months of just, you know, wrestling with partners and, you know, like I said, just getting work in and moving on. I think you're going to see more and more wrestlers just do that, not opt to wrestle in matches. This was something that, as you know, Andy, Mick brought this to your attention. This was something that was mandated by the governor's office and the Washington State Department of Health. This was not a WIA mandate. I think the WIA felt like they sort of had a handle on these high risk contact sports and felt comfortable moving forward as is, but that's something that the state mandated last week. And, you know, athletic directors and certified athletic trainers and assistant coaches, their plate just got, you know, something added to each week to make that sport go. Again, it's for student athletes. They'll find a way to make it work. But again, it's just another thing, another loop that wrestlers have to jump through to be able to get on the mat and wrestle a match.
I believe May 3rd is the day that the numbers, the metrics are officially going to be reassessed. I guess the decision is going to go into effect of what happens. But as you're listening to this podcast, you know, that news might already be out here. We're expected to hear some sort of announcement from the state at by the end of this week that goes into effect early next week. So stay tuned for that. And stay tuned to the site too, scorebooklive.com/Washington. And as I said, the SB Live Sports app, we're going to stay on top of this, and try to keep you updated on how it's going to be impacting high school sports across this state. So, you know, obviously not the news that high school fans, that athletes, that parents, that coaches, administrators want to be hearing right now. But we will see what happens when it becomes official. And if there's any wiggle room, because that's, you know, that's kind of what I'm hearing is, hey, is there, being asked at least by administrators, is like, hey, is there any wiggle room here? Are we going to make any exceptions? Is there going to be, you know, are state officials going to look at high school sports and say, okay, you know, is there any way that it can be assessed as, you know, hey, these are being played safely? You know, I know when those three counties moved to phase two a couple weeks ago, there was a little addendum made to the rules that said that, oh, hey, well, you know, those schools in, say, a Cowlitz County can go down and play basketball games, even though they're in phase two. They can play outside of Cowlitz County, so they can drive to Clark County, where the Greater St. Helens League, for example, plays, and play those games. I know up in your area, Pierce, it's the same thing. You know, can we play basketball games in Thurston County? So we'll see if there's any wiggle room. We'll see what happens. But stay tuned for that. Also this week, Todd, the NFL draft, you put together a roundup of the top potential NFL draftees with Washington high school ties, of which there are several, maybe not as many as past years, but certainly players that, you know, if you pay attention to high school sports in this state, you'll absolutely recognize. Who's one player that you're going to be really closely following over the draft these next few days?
Yeah, like you said, Andy, you know, we've got one guy that I think for sure that's going to be a day one or day two draft pick, and that's Joe Tryon. Played for Chris Bennett at Hazen High School, North Puget Sound League, for a lineman of the year. Had a really nice career, and his arc, his upside's pretty significant. Opted out this past season with the University of Washington to concentrate on his physical, his physique, and just working on some of the little things for his pro day, and impressed. Solid second round, top 50 player. But the guy I'm really most intrigued by is the guy that actually covered up here. Got to see him on his first day of practice as a ninth grader on the recommendation from not only Eric Curley at Graham Kapausen, but just coaches in other sports. I said, you got to go out and watch this guy. His athleticism for a big guy he could be a great baseball player if he wanted to, or he could be a great basketball player if he wanted to. And that's Foster Sorrell. And we all know that there are some people, me included, that think he's as good an offensive lineman that's ever come out of this state. And if you watch him in high school and you watch that athleticism and you watch that 6'6" frame and the way he moved, and I mean, it just came naturally to him at a position that doesn't come naturally a lot of the time for big guys. And it's just been a kind of a struggle. And it's been sort of a head scratching struggle. His time at Stanford right now, there's a chance he might not even be drafted on Saturday. And that's a real shock to me for a guy that saw this guy in high school, and the things that I read about him now are the complete opposite to what I'm used to from his time at Graham Kapowsin. It's just, and I'm hopefully going to get a chance to talk to him and write something up on him and get up on the site. But I'm curious to see, after NFL scouts do their evaluations, if they still think that he's got the upside to take a chance on and maybe the 5th, 6th, 7th round. If not, I'm sure it won't be very long for him to sign a free agent deal with somebody, preferably a high passing volume type NFL team, because that's his forte. He's an extraordinary pass blocker.
That article, that breakdown with the help of Fox Sports draft analyst Rob Rang is on the site. I'll link to it in the show notes. So if you're listening to it, go into the notes of this podcast and you can find a link directly to that. Todd, good job putting that together. We are going to jump to our interview for this week. And as we record this, we haven't conducted it yet. I'm really looking forward to it. You talked about guys that just really the position comes to them naturally. And somebody who that's really apparent is Ryan Black at Glacier Peak, who just, you know, talk about making the most of your COVID condensed season. He ran for 892 yards, 11 touchdowns in 5 games. I covered, you know, a couple of those games on the stream. Todd, you were there in person. You got to see him. And that, you know, we wondered if this was the year that Glacier Peak and a really good team led by Coach Shane Keck was going to knock off Lake Stevens and bite away at their dominance of that 4A Wesco. And this wasn't the year. But boy, did Ryan Black try to make it the year, man. As Lake Stevens was pulling away, it was clear that they still couldn't stop him. He had an explosive game that week and a really explosive season. And I think, you know, he's a real test case for, you know, we talk about whether this season matters and what people are playing for. And you hear coaches kind of sometimes dismissively say, well, you know, it's hard to plan for this season and, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, some when the season doesn't work out in the way they want, will say, okay, well, we're just going to push till fall because there's such a quick turnaround of, okay, you know, quick memory, wipe this season. And recruitment is a piece that was a huge concern for, you know, a lot of prospects when the season was delayed from the fall is, you know, hey, these college classes are going to be signed up. And they're going to still need to be solidified. And these guys that are relying on this breakout season, they're not going to get the chance. Well, there was a winter/spring season here in Washington. Ryan Black played 6 high school games and, you know, did everything that anyone would have asked, a running back to do in what is, you know, one of the premier breakout seasons in the state. So the big question is, is he going to see the fruits of that? So I'm really excited for this interview. What about you, Todd?
Yeah, I mean, Andy, you've asked about this season, the benefit from a recruiting. We do a lot of we do a fair share of recruiting for Scorebook Live or SB Live Washington. And I want to go back to the Tracy Ford showcase. And I know one of the benefits of that showcase in September was, or late September, early October, I can't remember, last fall, was just getting some new film. And as you know, that's sort of the lifeblood, the lifeblood between player and recruiter. Now we don't know how the dominoes are going to fall for Ryan Black. I like you, I hope he made enough of an impression that at least he's going to be a preferred walk-on option I know he can probably easily go to a D3 school. But I mean, he's better than that. But we don't know how those dominoes are going to fall. A lot of that is because of the backlog of what's going on and how COVID's impacted college programs and rosters. A lot of these guys that we've seen, Tanner Jellison, we just saw this with Luke Holcomb as a preferred walk-on at Washington State. That I think is the benefit of this spring season, is it sort of solidified their spot as a preferred walk-on option. I think recruits kind of have to look at that preferred walk-on option right now as almost like auditioning for a scholarship, because there just aren't very many scholarships out there. So again, I think over the next few months, we're going to see guys like Ryan Black, JP Leahy at West Valley Yakima, another guy that's going to go to Washington State as a preferred walk-on. I mean, we're going to see guys, I think, over the next couple months, you know, take those offers or go to schools, you know, D2, D3 schools that maybe, you know, are really benefiting from this. But we're going to see more names committing to colleges based on this senior season. I really hope a guy like Ryan Black latches on somewhere. You and I both know he's a really good football player. Too good a football player not to be on a college roster or committed to a college program.
There's no question about that. And I'm looking forward to seeing how his process is going and get a little insight into that. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Ryan Black. I want to take a moment to tell you about something really exciting for high school sports fans across the country. SB Live Sports has launched a free iPhone and Android app featuring the latest high school sports news here in Washington and across the country. With the SB Live Sports app, it's now even easier to follow your favorite team and tailor your experience to your interests. With real-time scores and news alerts, as well as video highlights, podcasts, photo galleries, rankings, game coverage, and much more, the app delivers on the content you want in one convenient place. The SB Live Sports app features exclusive content from on-the-ground reporters across the country, and it's the number one source for Washington high school sports fans, with coverage from reporters Todd Millis, myself, Andy Bueller, as well as SB Live's preeminent basketball mind and recruiting expert Dan Dickow. The SB Live Sports app is available at no charge in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store. Download it today. Lots of high school football players this spring. We're just excited for the opportunity to get the chance to play, to get the chance to have another season with their teammates. Some took it to elevate their game to the next level, and I think that describes our guest. Glacier Peak running back, senior Ryan Black, is with us. Ryan, the football season's in the past. What's keeping you busy right now?
We just started our lacrosse season yesterday, so I've been spending a lot of time at practice with those guys and just trying to stay in shape for college football.
Is it weird having to turn the page from football to lacrosse? I can't imagine that's something that that's a transition that you're used to.
I was used to that transition because I played football and lacrosse all growing up. But it's definitely kind of a tough transition, because like in football, obviously you got to break in between each play. So you got to be in a different kind of shape to be running up and down the field constantly in lacrosse. So I'm still working into it, but I think I'll be there. I mean, I'm not in bad shape, but it's definitely, I get a little tired because we got no breaks in between each play.
You know, you look back at the season you had, Everett Herald, Player of the Year. Should we break it to him?
Yeah, break it down.
One of our three All-State running backs. You know, 900 yards, the game against Lake Stevens. Did you look at this as sort of a prove it year?
I mean, I wouldn't say it was like a prove it year, because like, I don't know, I feel like I've proved, like I feel like people know that I can play ball, but it was definitely a year that I wanted to take advantage of my opportunity, because like we didn't really know if we were going to have a season the whole off season for like a year and a half almost. And a lot of guys were kind of saying we weren't going to have a season, like kind of giving up. But I just kept training like we were going to have a season, because I knew if we did, I was going to be ready to ball out. So that just was kind of my mindset in the off season, that if we had a season or not, I was going to be ready to play.
Well, I want to get into that a little bit because, you know, lots of players hope that, you know, an explosive breakout season would maybe put them on college radars. And you know, one of the best parts of the high school game is, you know, a lot of that's in your control. But this pandemic changed that, took the season, the opportunity out of your hands. And the football season was moved from the fall to the spring. And I'm just wondering mentally, how did you adjust during those months where nothing was in your control and you're just hoping for a chance to play?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was completely out of my control. There's really nothing I could say or do to change if we're going to have a season or not. So I just, like, tried to keep it in my head that we're going to have a season. We're going to have a season. So I just, like, kept training every day, trying to get better, trying to, like, get with my teammates and get them to train with me too. Because, I mean, I really felt like we were going to have a season. I just felt like it was going to happen. I mean, I obviously didn't know, but I was just really hopeful that we would. So I just tried to keep training like we were going to have a season because it was my senior year. So I really wanted to do well this year.
What's Ryan, what was some of the conversations that you were having with colleges as far back as last summer, you know, not having film, you know, that, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the kind of the driving force, that kind of that link between player and college coach. Just a lot of guys seem to say, hey, I just need to see film. I just need to see film. What were some of the conversations you were having with college coaches kind of leading up even into the delayed fall?
I mean, it was honestly really weird. Like, I was talking to a lot more coaches after my junior season than I have been after my senior season. And I don't know if that has to do with COVID or what, but yeah, I was talking to a lot of coaches and, you know, they just said like they'd like my tape and stuff and I need to keep working or whatever, just like what all coaches say. But yeah, it was just kind of a weird thing with COVID because I went from talking to like a bunch of coaches to really not hearing from anybody for the longest time. And then obviously we had our season. I started talking to a few more coaches, but it's just been really weird with COVID and everything. It's kind of the recruiting's been different than I thought it would be.
Well, that's, you know, that's part of the tough thing, the tough position I think you're in too, is, I mean, you're coming off a season where in five games you went for 892 yards on the ground, 11 touchdowns. And, you know, in any year that's going to open some eyes. Do you think that at this point, at least after the season, like, can you say that it has opened some eyes? Like, have any doors opened for you? And what does your recruitment look like?
I mean, I would say that, like, it definitely, like, obviously some more people have noticed and seen the articles and stuff like that, but I've been talking to a few coaches, like some D3 schools, and I'm talking to a junior college right now, and my coaches are working really hard to try to get schools to give me an offer and stuff like that. But I think it's just at a point in the year where it's like with COVID, like every college still has full rosters, you know, because everyone got another year of eligibility, and so it's just really like a tough situation this year because, like, I don't know. Every team still has full guys and they have like less scholarships to hand out, less preferred walk-ons and stuff. And I mean, I don't want to blame it on anything like that, but I just think that that plays into the recruiting for me.
Your brother went the D3 route and played at Whitworth. Yeah. You know that route, you know, very, very well. You know, mm-hmm. if you go to a junior college, that still leaves the door open to go play D2 yeah. and D1. Is that, how are you balancing two very drastically different paths?
Like you know, well, like you said, my brother obviously went down that road and he loved playing D3 football. He loved the school and he said it was like a really life-changing opportunity for him. And I mean, I think that's really cool, but I kind of feel like I've worked so hard that if I just go and settle at like a D3 school and can't go up from there, that I feel like it'd kind of be a waste of work in my opinion. So I'm kind of strongly considering the JUCO route and possibly earning myself a scholarship to like a bigger university.
Wow. So you're, in the words of your high school coach, Shane Keck, he says that your older brother, Ian, might have been the best linebacker to ever come through the program. You know, growing up with somebody, you know, a brother like that who plays football, who plays the same sport as you, are there any parts of the way you play that you feel like you picked up from him?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I watched my brother a lot in high school. I'd go to like all of his games and watch him play. And he's like a really intense player and he's always quick to get to the ball. So, I mean, I feel like I try to model a lot of stuff in my life after my brother. He's a pretty big role model to me, but I think I'm also unique in the way I play in some ways.
I wanted to ask you about the Lake Stevens game, because I think that's the game that everybody, I mean, that's, people were talking about that game. I wanted to ask you about the 4th and 3 play. I in 25 years of sports writing, I've never seen that before. Somebody going for it on 4th and 3 that deep in their own territory. And again, it's a COVID year. Why not? You know, let's roll the dice. Take me through that, the discussion on that before you guys actually went for it. And all of a sudden, let's just hand it off to Ryan and go around right end and score an 88 yard touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, to be completely honest with you, like we're on like our 10 yard line is 4th and 3rd. And I was like 4th and 3. And I was like, I was talking to my quarterback Tyson and I was like, why are we going for it? Like, why are we not punting the ball? And I don't know. That's just what they wanted to do. And I knew I could get at least like 3 yards. So that was my plan, was just to get the first down. I was like, I just can't get tackled. Just got to get this first down. And then I kind of got to the sideline and no one could really catch me. So
did you make sure and tell your coach that was the best gamble he will ever make as a football coach?
Yeah. And the funny thing about that play actually is I stepped on Tyson's foot. Like after the ball was snapped, I was going to get the handoff and I stepped on Tyson's foot. And he thought that I was about to trip, but then obviously that didn't happen. But that's kind of funny.
So I want to rewind a little bit. You grew up, you played lacrosse. That's a sport that, you know, I know you've played both. You're playing, you know, both right now. You're in a lacrosse season. What was your entry to football growing up? Where did you kind of foster your love for the game?
So I actually like grew up when I was in like elementary school. I played hockey. And like, I played like hockey and soccer and lacrosse as well. And I always like, cause a bunch of my friends growing up played football and I always like really wanted to try it, but my dad really like liked when like watching me play hockey and stuff. So he didn't want me to give up hockey, but eventually I talked him into letting me play. And I had a really fun time my first year in 6th grade. But then honestly in middle school, in 7th and 8th grade, I was kind of like out of shape and like didn't really have, I was thinking about quitting. But then I just decided to stick it out. And after freshman year, I was all in. I love football. Like, I knew that was what I wanted to do because it was just so much fun. And I felt like it was something I could do well at and keep getting better at. So, yeah, that's probably when I really fell in love with football.
Well, that love starts your freshman year. And let's fast forward 2 years to your junior year. So protective instinct is really important in any sport, any team sport, especially football. And I want to rewind to a moment. As a junior, you saw one of your teammates being punched on the ground. You defended your teammate. You ended up being ejected for it. And your coaches bring that up now when they describe your protective instinct and what kind of teammate you were. Walk us through that situation and what you learned from it.
I mean, that was a pretty high emotion game. And I saw one of my teammates, he got kind of pancaked by one of their receivers. And like, obviously that's legal, but I saw he was already on the ground. He's kind of like pushing his face into the turf, like kind of after the whistle. And like, I'm not about to let that slide because that's one of my teammates. That's one of my brothers. So I went over there and kind of laid out that kid, but I obviously got ejected and I told my coach that I would do that again in a heartbeat because I'm always going to protect my teammates before anything. But that was definitely a big point in my high school career because it I got suspended for, it should have been 2 games, but we got it reduced to 1. And I was told that if I got suspended again, that I'd be done with football. So it kind of made me like take a step back and get better at handling my emotions. And I think it really matured me as a person and a player to understand those situations and realize it's just a game, but also protect my teammates in the same fashion. But yeah, it was definitely a big point in my high school career, but I learned a lot from it. I learned to control my emotions better and like be better about how I use my actions.
Have you always been sort of hyper emotional in athletics? So I'm far back at hockey. And I mean, when you showed up as a 6th grader in hockey or a different sport, did people go, okay, you know, that's, you know, we can get to him. We can make sure to get his emotion, get the best of him.
Yeah. It's happened a few times in my career where I've kind of like lost my head and like let my emotions take over. But I've definitely always been like a pretty high emotion player. I get like really into the game, and I don't know. It was just one of those things where I saw my teammate getting beat up, so I wanted to go back him up. But I've definitely gotten better about that since then, and I don't know. I don't think it's like a bad characteristic to have to protect your teammates, so I don't have a problem with it.
Well, that's good perspective. You are done with your high school football career now, and you ended on a really high note personally. And I feel like, too, as a team, you know, Lake Stevens has, as everybody who pays attention to high school football knows, a really long-running league win streak in the 4A Wesco. And this year, it looked like this might be the year with your guys' depth top to bottom that you could threaten that. And you did. You know, of course, Lake Stevens pulls away and wins that game, but you finish in your last high school football game, 356 yards, 32 carries, touchdown runs of 88, 67, and 48 yards. To end your high school football career on that note, what does that mean?
I feel like it makes me feel like all the hard work I put in throughout high school was really worth it, because I kind of went off on a – I left my last game on a high note. Even though we obviously lost, I felt like that was probably my best game I've had in my high school career. So I don't know. It just really feels like all the hard work I put in really paid off, and it was the very last game, so I was going to give it my all. And yeah, that's just kind of how it went.
Was it hard taking yourself out of that game and letting your backup get a few carries?
Honestly, like it was kind of weird, because like I'd go into the game obviously, and sometimes I'd be getting like 4 or 5 carries in a row. So I was pretty gassed. I'd be coming off to the sideline, like sitting on the bench, getting water and like trying to get back in there as soon as I can. But I definitely needed the rest at some points, because I was pretty exhausted, and I was playing defense like in the first quarter too, but I stopped playing defense after the first quarter, because they just wanted to focus on me running the ball.
Little did you know, that's your lacrosse coach is in the ear of your football coach going, keep him in.
We need him to be in that shape.
Yeah.
Ryan, let me put you on the spot on a guy that we're going to be obviously paying attention to over the next few years, the guy that was on the other side that had a pretty big game, and Jaden Lamar. Now that you got to see him up close in your final game, what kind of future do you think he has running the football?
I think Jaden, by his senior year, he better have like an offer from every school in the Pac-12, some SEC schools. That kid, he's like the best player I've ever played in football. It was ridiculous. And I felt the biggest part of us losing that game is I don't think it was Jaden's first start. He wasn't the starter up until that game. And I don't think we put enough emphasis on him, because, I mean, you guys saw what happened. He was just, no one could tackle him. He's too fast. He had a kick return on the very first kickoff of the game. So yeah, that dude is a freak athlete, and I have a lot of respect for him, because I don't know, I just see him grinding and stuff. But yeah, I think he has a big future ahead of him for sure.
Another guy with a big future ahead of him that lines up on the same side as you, Cooper Jensen. You know, I remember watching in that first, your guys' game against Archbishop Murphy. You know, he lined up at receiver. He might project more as a tight end, just a physical freak. But I think his first touchdown catch in that game, he just went up and made a play, and the DB didn't even have a chance. What's it like playing with him, and do you see kind of a similar trajectory?
Yeah, it was definitely awesome having Coop on the team this year. He transferred from Archbishop Murphy last year. So I didn't really, going into the season, I didn't really know him. I just saw this 6'6 kid who was suddenly on our football team lining up a receiver. And he was a huge part of our team this year. Anytime we needed like an easy touchdown, you could just throw it up to Cooper. And he was huge in our run game too. I think our best play was when we had him like bunched up and I could like run to the outside behind him, because no one can get past Cooper. He's probably one of the best run blocking receivers in the state, in my opinion. And I think, like, same with Jaden, like, the sky's the limit for Cooper. He just got his first offer from Oregon State the other day, which is super awesome. And that's pretty early offer. He's only played 5 games at GP. So I think he's still got a big future ahead of him. And I think he's going to get a ton more offers. I'm super excited for him.
How many times have you been up to Evergreen Speedway and watched Tyson race that race car?
I think I've been up there. I think I've watched him like 2 or 3 times, but I think it was two times. Both times that I went and watched him, his car broke. So I haven't really seen Tyson like actually race.
Man, you're like the bad luck charm. What's up with that?
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's why I haven't been back, but he's been doing well since I haven't been there. So
That's awesome. Well, I'm sure you guys will stay connected as you go your separate ways. You know, same applies to a lot of your teammates. As you look to wrap up your high school, your senior year, how do you reflect on these last 4 years? Has it really hit you that it's almost over?
I mean, it's definitely been a really big, like, growing experience in high school. Like, I feel like I've matured a lot since my freshman year, and I've learned a lot of valuable life lessons and stuff like that. But it's been really weird with COVID. Like, it doesn't really feel like I've been in high school for that long, because we've really only been in high school for like 2.5 years, 3 years, because we lost a whole year. So it's pretty weird, but I mean, I'm ready to move on with my life for sure, onto the next chapter. So I'm excited, but it was definitely fun while it lasted.
You're going to process this last year and a half in lots of different ways over the course of your lifetime, I'm sure. Ryan, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us this week. It's great talking with you, and it was a lot of fun watching you play your senior year.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and a review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. And thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. This song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.